Reading from the Brihadbhagavatamrita, Part 1, Chapter 4, Text 93. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri 93. Sri Parikshit Uvacha Atashanam Nishashvasa Hanumandaryasad Kara Jagada Naradam Natva Shanam Riddhi Vim Rishyasaha. Sri Parikshit said, Hanuman, the ocean of sobriety, then sighed for a moment, and after a brief time in thought, he bowed down to Narada and spoke. Commentary: Hanuman's strict loyalty to Lord Ramachandra made him reconsider what he had been thinking. He concludes that to go running off to Dwarka, leaving aside his regular worship, would violate his exclusive devotion, so he bows down to Narada to ask forgiveness before saying no to what Narada has suggested. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksurunmalatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vairagya Yudbhakti Vasampayatnai Apayam Mamanabhipsamandam Kripambuhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhamasriyami Vancha kalpa taru bhyashta kripa shindu baye bhaja patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadevor Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Newburgh, near Cornwall, New York. It's near Newburgh, about an hour northwest of New York City, at the home of the Revolve family. Many of you know them, a joint family. And it's kind of very exciting. I mean, there's so many people in this house. I have my own little room here, and I'm staying for 10 days after about 3 months of intensive travel, which I'm enjoying because I'm getting to write a fascinating subject of yoga psychology. And it's a challenge for me, but I really like to conceptualize and express ideas. But it's kind of nice because they're really, due to the inspiration of Bhakti Vishwambar Madhava Maharaj and his entreaty that every house should be make Vrindavan gardens. The family is working on making very nice gardens. And I think by the next time we have our festival here, this place is going to be transformed. There'll be a fence, maybe a 6 or 8 foot fence around the whole property. There should be a little orchard of fruit trees, beautiful gardens, etc. So, and it's nice. It's nice being here to do this work and to see a family which stays together for Krishna consciousness. They have their own little voluntary morning program in the morning. The morning program. It's nice to see Mayapur, who was the first brother to come to America and worked very, very hard to establish this and bring the rest of the family. That although he's a very, very busy doctor every morning, they have many, many Tulsis, and he sits under the shade of Tulsi for his chanting very, very seriously. And he told me, he said, you know, basically I can translate it, trust no future, however pleasant. You know, it never if you live in the future, I'll do it in the future, I'll do it in the future, it doesn't have, you have to do now. You actually have to do it now. You have to surrender to Krishna now. You have to chant your rounds now. You have to become serious now. And it's nice to see. I know it's difficult in the world with the responsibilities, family, etc. It's really nice to see individual people in the world setting that example. Again, Bhakti Vishwa Madhavmarj is very attached to Tulsi, and he was quoting verses and recommending that strongly, to chant under the shade of Tulsi. So we're back in the Brihad, we had Bhagavatamrita, and we hear now the glorifications of the devotees are coming from so many angles, and I wouldn't call it in your face, that's like a bad term, but it's so prominent when you read this book. The glories of devotees, by the way they speak, by the way others speak about them, by the glorifications that are taking place. And we're now seeing the Pandavas through the vision of Hanuman, that vision of a devotee which is completely free from envy. Nimatsaranam Sitam, a devotee, because a devotee is not in a competitive mood to establish himself or herself, but a devotee is seeking the periphery of servant to the servant of the servant of the servant. A devotee's view of others is not skewed by fear and envy. So to perceive the Vaishnav through the eyes of another Vaishnav is a very beautiful and inspirational thing. And it has the proper effect on the consciousness. I explained before, there's a whole metaphysics of how the mind works, how easily the mind is influenced, and how there are good influences and there are bad influences. And the best influence is the association of advanced devotees. Just being in their proximity affects the consciousness positively. What to speak, if you hear from such a person, and what to speak if you serve such a person. So it's so wonderful to see Hanuman here, and Hanuman has glorified the Pandavas to such an extent because of their power, of their intimate service. They just want to please Krishna. And that's a fact. To satisfy Krishna, You have to do what Krishna is, what Krishna wants. And what Krishna wants is in the hearts of his pure devotees. So if you want to be empowered to satisfy Krishna and empowered in the service of Krishna, you have to humbly submit yourself to a superior Vaishnava. And that's the ultimate pleasure, actually, because then the flow of love from that Vaishnava and from Krishna, that flow of love flows to your heart, and the love in your heart flows. If you give yourself fully, completely giving yourself, like Prabhupada gave himself to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when you give yourself fully, when you give yourself fully, you enter that devotee's heart. And when you give yourself fully, that devotee enters your heart, and you enter that devotee's heart. And then you're swimming in the ocean of affectionate love, and that's the spiritual world. So they're eager to see such devotees because they want to satisfy Krishna. And therefore, they have to know the desire of Krishna, which is in the heart of the devotee. And that desire of what Krishna wants is bestowed upon one who serves the devotee who knows that desire. That's the secret of Krishna consciousness. That's why Srila Rupa Goswami was so glorified. He knew the mind of Krishna. He knew the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how did he know the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because he gave himself so fully, without any limitations, to the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tadami buddhitesham satatayuktanam bhajatam prittipurvakam tadami buddhiyogam tvam yena mam upayanti te. For one who worships me with faith and devotion, I give the knowledge of how they can come to me. So, they want to go to see the devotee, and they want to go see this wonderful, unparalleled land of Dwarka. They want to go to this unparalleled land. And they want to see this. I'm just looking at something. They want to go to take shelter of these Pandavas because of the level of their devotion. And they want to see this place, which reveals God in an unparalleled way that is not even seen in a yoga. Unparalleled means the Aishwarya, the opulence of God, and the Madhurya, the sweetness of God's personality. So they're eager to go. They're eager to go. And Narada becomes very enthused by hearing the entreaty of Hanuman, and in that enthusiasm, he says, Utishta, Utishta, let's get up, let's get up, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. It's not even seen in Vaikuntha, this love. Get up, get up, we should go at once. Something unseen in Ayodhya, we should go, let's go, let's go. What do you say? Let's go. This is the symptom of Baba, that you're eager to go to those places of God's pastimes, especially those places where the sweet, intimate love is manifested. So this is his enthusiasm. Now in today's verse, we go back again now to Parikshit, who's narrating this to his mother. And then as he looks at it, he sees a very, very wonderful thing, that although Hanuman has that great eagerness to associate with advanced devotees, and he was the one that was enthusing Narada. Then when Narada said, yes, okay, I will go, let's go, let's go. That's the mood of a devotee, actually. When he hears there's advanced association in their proximity, their first reaction is, let's go, let's go. Let's go, let's go. They have that taste. So now, despite this enthusiasm, then all of a sudden, Hanuman checks his feelings. It's very nice. He's called as an ocean of soberness. Very important to be sober. Very interesting here. There are different devotional imprints in the heart. And a devotee acts on the spontaneous platform without thinking. He serves Krishna without, you know, without analysis. Without analysis, he serves Krishna. He's attracted. He's attached. He serves Krishna. Sometimes, even in that spontaneous attachment and spontaneous service, there are decisions to be made. And then one has to make judgment, not just act according to attachment, but decide which action is best. And when one is confronted with those choices, then the intoxicated devotee becomes very, very sober. What should I do? Just like Gadadhar Pandit, he took a vow of Kshetra Sannyas, that he would never leave Puri and he would just serve the lotus feet of their lordship, Tota Gopinath. But at a spontaneity, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving Puri, he followed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had to take the sober position. What is best to do? Sometimes out of attachment, one wants to go someplace out of attachment for Krishna, but at the same time, they have service to do. So they have to come to the platform of reflective analysis. There's the mind, which is basically somewhat impulsive, the manas, and then there's the buddhi, which is reflective. So it's okay to move primarily by the impulses, if the imprints in the consciousness are so filled with love for Krishna that your rag, your attachment is for Krishna. And we do hope to get to that platform, and that's one of the goals of our regulated practice. We're putting in attachment for Krishna in the consciousness till it comes asakti, which it means you have addiction for Krishna. Addiction means that the imprints or the memories of the pleasure of serving Krishna are so deep and dominating within one's consciousness that the consciousness is just flowing and flowing towards the service of Krishna. And even if another imprint in the heart for something else besides the service of Krishna temporarily arises, which can happen by karma or by seeing or by some external circumstance, even if it arises, it's immediately, the mind is spontaneously pulled back to Krishna. Now, there's a level of attachment called ruchi or taste, at the level of taste, the imprints are becoming, the memories of pleasure for serving Krishna have become so prominent, and the memories of pleasure for things that are anartha, value to Krishna, have become so diminished that any time you think of doing anything else, then immediately the mind will be pulled back to the service of Krishna. But the higher level is asakti. And asakti means the imprints, the memories of pleasure for Krishna have become even more all-consuming. That spontaneously, you don't have to move the mind back. It's just focused on Krishna to such a degree. But sometimes we are confronted with decisions in the service of Krishna. Sometimes attachments for serving Krishna that draw us in different ways, that one has to come to the platform of reflection. And it's a good quality of a devotee, and Hanuman is called the ocean of this soberness. The devotee is intoxicated, which indicates he's spontaneously serving Krishna. But then he becomes sober. What is the best thing to do? And this is Hanuman. And he begins to vimrisha, he begins to contemplate. And just after a brief time in contemplation, the answer is there. And therefore, natva. He bows down because he's worshiping the deity, just like Tota Gopinath is worshiping the deity. And the deity is not different than Krishna, so the deity is not different than Ram. So although there's so much attraction when he begins to glory, when the Pandavas glory, you're the best devotee, and he says, no, I'm not the best, the Pandavas are the best. Then he describes the Lord of the Pandavas, and he becomes so enthusiastic. But when he sees his worship to Lord Ram and his relationship with the Supreme Lord in the form of Lord Ram, he bows down because he's going to have to tell Narada, I ask you forgiveness because I'm the one that encouraged to go. I'm the one that asked you to go, and now I cannot go. So I think we can, for the rest of the class, well, let's see, I always have something to say, but it's so sweet to now see this devotion of Hanuman and his dedication to God, who manifests to him in a particular way. And we have that experience even in ordinary dealings. When we love a person in a particular way, the person manifests to us in a particular way. The person may be a father, the person may be the king, but if the person is our friend, he manifests to us as the friend. And then that manifestation of the person becomes supreme. Now, in terms of God, when he manifests his personality in different ways, he can actually, that personality manifest as a different manifestation of God. So God, that one person, to reciprocate the love of devotees, can manifest in unlimited ways. The devotee understands the non-duality, that it's the same person, but he also understands that it's an aspect of that same person whom he has or she has a relationship with. So Hanuman is, we're going to see, this kind of nishta, this kind of dedication. And this is one of the aspects of bhakti that everyone has to cultivate. He has to pray to have Ishtadev. He has to pray to develop a relationship with Krishna, which means a particular manifestation with Krishna that's suited for the particular relationship that one is aspiring for. And that's one of the reasons, that's actually one of the purposes of deity worship. It's also the purpose of chanting, of Shastra. Purpose of reading Shastra is that by doing it in the appropriate way, you will establish a specific connection with God. And then you will worship that specific connection with God in the form of the deities. And then you will chant about that specific connection with God. And you will chant the holy name of Krishna, or the holy names of God, or specific holy names of God, in that specific mood. And that's how love progresses. It's such a beautiful thing. So let's hear Hanuman's. Now we saw Prickett saying that this is happening. Now let's see Hanuman's heart, and let's listen very, very attentively. And while we're listening, we should be praying that some of that mood comes to us. Maybe not for Ram specifically, but the general mood of purity and devotion. Si Hanuman Uvacha, Siman Mahaprabhostasya, Preshtanam Apisarbhata, Tatadarshana Sevartam, Prayanam Yuktamevahana. Sri Hanuman said, certainly it would be fitting for us to visit Dwarka to see the Pandavas and offer them service, for they are in all respects most dear to the personality of God and his consort. Commentary: two good reasons to visit the Pandavas are to see them and offer them service. Or the reason is actually one, because seeing them, darshan, is itself personal service and transcendental worship. So service means love. And if you go to see the deity, and that darshan, or that audience with the deity, is an expression of your love, then that's service. Just like if someone loves you and comes to see you and looks at you with love, that's pleasing and satisfying to you. And that's also service. And we should go to see the deity. That's why Prabhupada established the deity. So we can offer that service of darshan. We can look at the deity with love and devotion. So this is Hanuman. And he's also giving reasons why he should go before saying why he will not go. Kintu tena gunajasnam mahakarunya madhuri yatapakashyamanaste gambira purvato dika. But the Lord is now displaying uncommonly intense mercy and sweetness, more confidential than anything he has ever shown before. So this is Krishna, Madhuri, sweetness, Ajashram, never before seen, unique, Mahakarunya, and intense mercy. So this is Krishna. And it's gambira, purvita, adhika. It's greater and deeper and more confidential than ever before. Confidential means that it is not displayed publicly. It's only given in intimate relationship. And therefore, it's not as well understood. Just like there is adulation for Barack Obama in America. And people worship him. But he has a public persona. There are parts of him that are confidential. They're only shown to the family members who can understand him, to the close friends who can understand him. So God is like that. That he has a public persona that suits those who respect him in reverence and respect him for his position. But he has something much more confidential. And that Supreme Lord came to Vrindavan and then Mathura and Dwarka to display that. And it's uncommon. It's uncommon. It's very gambira. It's a very, very deep thing. And it's not easily understood. Because sweetness and intimacy cannot be appreciated unless you have relationship. And if you don't have relationship and you see that sweetness or you see the form of that, you'll take it as very ordinary. Krishna is dancing with the gopis. You'll say, this is ordinary thing. So, vichitta lila angicha tata paramamohini muninam atyabhijnanam vyasyat paramabrahma. Those wonderful, playful pastimes are so supremely enchanting that they bewilder even self-realized souls. So, Mohini, they're bewildering. And what's bewildering? Bhangi, Leela, Vachitra, playful sports. Playful sports, which don't exhibit Aishwarya or opulence or supremacy. So, it's bewildering. Hanuman is about to admit his fear of offending Sri Krishna and his devotees. Even in Dwarka, what to speak of Vrindavan, the mood of devotional service in the company of Krishna is more relaxed than Hanuman is accustomed to. So he's worried about becoming confused and doing something wrong. At the same time, he readily acknowledges that the charm of Dwarka and the intensity of Krishna's mercy there have never been shown anywhere else, even in, so this book is really, book's about Krishna, just like the Bhagavatam's about Krishna. And the supremacy of Krishna as God and as a person who is sweet and a person who is merciful. And a person who is playful and charming. So Hanuman, who has a different relationship with God, doesn't want to be in that atmosphere. And I can only give a personal example of this. I sometimes would explain that my father was a very sweet man. And he was a father, so he kept a little formality and distance that was healthy. And I explained sometimes that I would call him by his first name and he would become upset. Not only his first name, I'd call him by his nickname. And he'd become upset. And he said, I'm not your friend, I'm your father. But one day they were having a party in the house, my father and his friends and my mother and their friends and all these couples. And I came downstairs, and one of my father's friends said something, you know, to my father or something. It was kind of actually quite gross. And, you know, they tried to cover themselves. So that wasn't the realm for me to see my father. That wasn't my relationship. And if I'm in that realm, then maybe I will become familiar in a way that I will violate the rules that facilitate the particular relationship I have with my father. So Hanuman's worried like that. I don't want to come into the inner courtyard and say, I am his servant. And I don't want to be there when he's coming down in a familiar way in that relationship, because I may misunderstand him then, and I may commit offense, and he's my Lord and Master. Aho bhava dusham tato yato loka patamaha veda pavarta chap Veda Pavarta Kacharyo Bahom Brahmat Yadindata. Just see, he's talking to Narada, how your father, Brahma, grandfather of the world, founder Acharyas of the Vedic teachings, was confused by the pastimes of Krishna. So Hanuman's saying, I'm a little afraid to go there. Even your father, who was the Pavartika Acharya of the Vedas, the founder Acharya of the Vedas, even he became confused there because Krishna was just taking a picnic with his friends, and your father thought he was an ordinary boy and he committed such offense. I do not want to go into that realm. Fools rush in where angels dare to tread. Commentary, Brahma is the first of all the Veda Acharyas, the Manus, the Vyas, and so on. But when he kidnapped Krishna's friends and calves, he was shown such a display of Krishna's supreme magic that he lost his power to act and think. Vanaranam abudinam madrisham tattakakata Tetsi tvam api tadvitam tadvishanke paradita. So what can be said about foolish monkeys like me because of how strangely Krishna's pastimes unfold? As you also know, I am afraid of aparad. And that's in the mood of servitude, of one who's taken shelter of God. An expression of their love is a fear of committing offenses. That's healthy. As opposed to someone in that relationship that has no fear, and because he's not afraid of committing offenses, he commits offenses. And then there's no love. So, I'm afraid, he's saying. I'm afraid because I'm an unintelligent monkey. And therefore, I fear aparadita, offenses, aparad, to that move me distance from God. I'm afraid of offenses if they move me distance from God. Commentary, if Brahma could become bewildered in Krishna's presence, Hanuman thinks, then I will lose my intelligence the moment I see him. Someone might try to explain to Hanuman, but quote, but those who are bewildered like that are jnanis, sages attached to dry knowledge. Brahma became confused because attachment to his knowledge in high position. The pure devotees won't succumb to the same bewilderment. Hanuman's answer is that Narada himself became bewildered when he visited Dwarka and saw in each of 16,000 palaces a different Krishna. Next verse. Let the wonderfully varied pastimes of the Lord be the very life of his servants who think nothing else of him. Let the wonderfully varied pastimes of the Lord be the very life of his devotees who think him. For such devotees, those pastimes always increase the ecstasy of love of Godhead. Purport. To remember the pastimes of the personality of Godhead is not only his devotees' gati, the aim of all their endeavors, it is the paramagati, their only resort and protection from all dangers. I'm just going to read on just a little bit to just stop at a... this is Hanuman Bhakti. Even so, I simply feel more attracted to the Supreme Lord in his eternal identity as Sri Raghunath, the son of Dasarath and joy of Mother Kaushalya. His heart always tender with natural, unaffected compassion. He is spontaneously attracted to loving exchanges with his devotees. Exchange is free from any tinge of duplicity. He demonstrates how to follow properly the religious duties of all of a civilized people, and he upholds the strict vow of having only one wife. In the shyness of innate humility, his face always looks downward, his eyes fixed on the ground. His exalted character is pleasing to all. He stands with bow in hand, the king of kings, the hero of the city of Ayodhya, served by Sita and Lakshman, and with Bharat as his elder brother. He rules the race of monkeys as the dear friend of Sugriva and gives shelter to Bibhishan. By hearing of the pastimes of Krishna, the unlimited loving attraction I feel towards my own master is increased. So Krishna and Ram are not different. So, even when a Krishna devotee sees Ramachandra, he says, oh, my Lord is dressed as a king. But his focus is the manifestation of God as Krishna. And same thing with the Ram Bhakta. When he sees Krishna, he says, oh, my Ram is dressed as a cowherd boy. So when he hears the pastimes of Krishna, there's no duality for the Ram Bhakta. And when the devotee of Krishna hears the pastimes of Ram, there's no duality for the devotee of Krishna. But the affection that they feel flows to the manifestation of God, whom they have a particular relationship with. The Ram Bhakti hears about Krishna, and the affection flows to Ram. The Ram Bhakti hears about Krishna, and the affection flows to Ram. And the Krishna Bhakti hears about Ram, and the affection flows towards Krishna. So beautiful. Therefore, I think I shall stay here. Constantly, hey, Jai Hanuman. He's fixed in the worship of his Lord. Jai Hanuman. Therefore, I think I shall stay here, constantly seeing him in this form and drinking the immortal nectar of his pastime. He's hearing about Krishna. Krishna, so beautiful. And he says, yes, therefore, I will stay with Krishna as he's manifest as Ram, as my Lord. And I will constantly see him in this form. And I will drink the pastimes of his pastimes. In essence, Hanuman says he's not independent. He cannot go anywhere or do anything on his own whim, even though he knows Lord Ram is an expansion of Sri Devaki Nandana. He must continue to worship Lord Ram. Okay, that's good. That's what I have for today. Would anyone like to ask any questions? Let me see if I've got the wrong thing on for that. One second.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay.
Okay, anybody like to say something? I took the thing off that blocked.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bol, Gail. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Boy, there's a lot of noise back there.
Okay, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to mute the phones again and then get back to you, okay?
Okay.
1 sec. Okay, Gail, unmute your phone and talk. Gail, you there?
Okay, Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, I think I got rid of them, Gail. Okay.
Yeah, just on this last point, you know, a person has a relationship with a particular aspect of Krishna, you know? You know, if your relationship is with Ram, then even when you see Krishna, you know, you're seeing your Ram, you know? At an advanced level. And
yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, if your relationship is with Krishna, for example, and you are seeing Lord Nrisimhadev, you will also see your Krishna. Or if you're relationship with Ram, when you see Lord Nrisimhadev, you will see Ram. Or when or vice versa also. In other words, that applies for any expansion of Krishna, isn't it?
What's that?
That principle applies to any expansion of Krishna, whether it's Lord Nrisimhadev, Lord Ram, you know, whoever, Aniruddha, I don't know. Right?
Well, let's put it this way. It definitely applies to Krishna. And when you see someone else, and if you have that mood, here it says he knows that Lord Ram is an expansion of Sri Devaki Nandana, but he must continue to worship Lord Ram. So maybe it applies to Krishna, because Krishna, the devotee, knows that Krishna is the supreme and these are his manifestations. I know that for sure. And now the other question you have is if it's a manifestation of Krishna. Well, obviously they see the same person, but their loyalties and affection lie elsewhere. Let me see. In Gaur Lila, Rupa and Sanatan tried to convert their brother Anupam to Krishna Bhakti. And, you know, because it was the older brothers and he had so much affection, then he tried, but he couldn't. He couldn't switch that relationship towards them, towards Ram. So now the question is, what was he thinking? Well, I don't think he was thinking that Ram was superior. It was just the relationship. What?
No,
I don't even think
he's superior.
Let me go on. I was going to say something. He would just see it's their relationship. I sometimes try to put these down to very practical levels. Let's say you have the example of a mother who, you know, has a son, and the son is also the president, the son is also a lover of some, you know, famous lover, etc. So I guess even when she sees the son in the higher relationship of a lover, she doesn't see the lover, she sees her son, or she sees her son as the lover. So it seems that the relationship that you have takes prominence in your vision. The relationship you have with someone takes prominence in your vision, even if you see them engaged in another relationship. So I don't know, I guess if there's an Ashringa Bhakta, an exclusive Ashringa Bhakta, and that, you know, I don't have a Shastic reference, but it seems to me that the relationship you have takes prominence in your view of that person, even another relationship. It's not that you don't see, oh, my son is a, you know, a great lover. He may be famous as a great lover. But you'll still see the person as your son.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what it seems. Okay. All right, Gail?
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to either say hello or ask a question?
Clarence?
Yes, Moody. Maribel,
thanks for a really inspiring class. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to ask you how study of Shastra relates to one's own particular relationship with God.
Yeah.
I know you've discussed this in the past.
Well, some things I repeat by realization, some things I repeat by Shastriya Shraddha, faith in Shastra.
Okay.
Well, first I'll say where it comes from, then I'll give my personal realization of it.
Yeah.
It comes from the Yoga Sutras when it discusses Kriya Yoga, and one of the aspects of Kriya Yoga is Swadhyaya. And Swadhyaya means when you perfect a particular Kriya, I guess, a particular action, there's a benediction that comes, and it describes that with Swadhyaya, it establishes your connection with God. Now, my personal realization when I heard that is that each Shastra, generally a Shastra presents a particular manifestation of God. You know, or there are Shastras that present a particular manifestation of God. Each Shastra presents a predominant manifestation of God. Even some Shastras, if you read, it's Chakta Bhuj Narayan, you know, they're very, you know, you read another thing, it's Krishna, you read another thing, it's Ram. So they present, like, I guess they call it the Paribhasa Shloka, the theme of the whole Bhagavatam is what? Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsa Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So I'm assuming as that's the theme of the Bhagavatam, the theme of other Shastras have to do with some type of Sambandha. And basically, every Shastra has a Sambandha, and a Sambandha means its relationship to the Absolute Truth, every Shastra. Now, I'm not sure if every Shastra has a relationship to the Absolute Truth as presenting, you know, I mean, there's Manu and all these things that present rules and regulations, etc. But definitely a great amount or a lot of Shastra presents this. So my realization is yes, when you read the Bhagavatam, it establishes your if you read the Bhagavatam perfectly, you know, you start from the first 10 cantos and you read and study by hearing from a qualified person and the Brihad Bhagavatamrita in the same way, it establishes you in your relationship with Krishna. So it seems like a very, very practical thing, you know, even though it's presented almost as a mystical benefit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can go on.
No. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, the only other thing that came to my mind was that, I don't know, my experience that some of the most inspiring times I've had studying Shastra is when I really felt the super soul connecting to me through the Shastra, where maybe it was really, and I'm sure you've had a lot of experiences like this where you feel like the super soul, the Shastra you're reading right now is directly reciprocating with your current situation to inform you about what you need.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think
that's nice. Very nice.
In that sense, it reminds me of how the Lord, until we become fairly enlightened, the Lord's primary relationship with us is in the form of one who gives spiritual knowledge. Like you said today, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. So I don't know. That just kind of came to mind.
No, I really think that that's a very edifying explanation of how you can look at this too, because definitely the Shastra speaks to you. So definitely from speaking to the Shastra, you can get a general sense of your relationship with God. because it's reciprocatory. And, you know, and I experience in different ways, definitely that, you know, if you study it, you know, there's no doubt that there's God and that God is reaching out to you and enlightening you. And the same thing, you know, the Bhagavatam is not different than Krishna. So when you study in that way, you're actually relating with Krishna, you know, and you feel it. You feel that connection too. Good. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Marsh.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Who's that?
Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
I'm here. Hare Krishna. I'm going to tell people Go ahead.
I spent some time with my dying ex-husband in the hospital.
Oh, my God, really?
Recently, and so I did a lot of chanting and praying, and I have to say that I did a lot of prayers to Lord Narasimhadev. It seems to me that that is how I became oriented, that when there is a dire need, you know, then we somehow turn to Narasimhadev. So it was a very mixed thing. It was, you know, chanting the holy name and chanting the holy name, and then there was Narasimha prayers, Queen Kunti's prayers also, but it was very mixed. It was very mixed. And then my son came in and he said, you know, we should do something Catholic because he
could... You should do something what?
Catholic.
Yeah.
Because we know that he converted to Catholicism in 2000. But we didn't know ever if he did anything about it, you know. There's
yeah.
a paper that says that he went to a couple of communions, but that's all we know. And
yeah.
they didn't find anything in his papers except the Lord's Prayer. So we included that also. And
yeah.
the 23rd Psalm and so on, you know, whatever we could do. He wanted Tulsi beads, so I brought him a string of Tulsi beads. He put them around his neck.
Who wants the Tulsi beads?
My ex-husband.
Why did he want Tulsi beads?
He saw my chanting beads. And I have these very big ones, you know. And he said,
yeah.
oh, wow. And he put them around his neck.
Yeah.
He took them and just put them around his neck. And I said, well, you can't have these, but I'll bring you another, a smaller set that you can wear. You know, you can keep them. And so he did that.
Mm.
And so we had this very mixed thing. But I was going from Mahamantra, which he really liked to hear, especially when he couldn't speak anymore. I could see from the expression of his face and the way he nodded his head and used his hand until he couldn't do that anymore, that he enjoyed it, especially the second part, the Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You know, he really responded to that. I don't
wonderful.
Know what the... Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Very wonderful. It just shows the power of becoming a devotee, how it influences people that you're connected with.
Yes.
Amazing,
yes.
huh? Amazing.
And there was very little connection all these years. And then in the end, it was so intense that it was actually almost difficult to do, you know.
Wow.
So now I need your advice as to what to do with the ashes when the ashes...
Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call you up in about 15 minutes, okay?
Okay, great. Now,
okay.
I have a new telephone number.
Oh, you want to give it to me right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to call you up, yeah. It's amazing the potency of devotees. You know, Kishori's aunt...
Yes,
passed
yes.
away, and you know, the same thing, you know, she was there, and it really, you know, very frankly, when people are dying, no one can do anything for them. The only, you know, the only thing is God, you know, there's nothing else, and people who have God can give God. And
yeah.
at that time, other people, I'm sure your son was appreciating, you know,
yeah.
In some ways,
yeah.
your spirituality more than perhaps he before could appreciate, because he saw, you know, it actually has such a practical value.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, I'm going to call you up, okay?
All right, thank you
so
much.
I'll hear from you. Okay, very nice. Thank you for sharing that, Amiya. That's very beautiful.
Thank you, Mom.
Yeah. Anybody else like to say hello? hear from
Maharaj,
Prabhupada.
Did you get the first three numbers of her
I did.
Correct?
I did.
Okay.
You wanted?
No. I but it sounded like you had said something different from what she had said. So was
it's 347, isn't it?
That's correct.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
That's correct. All right.
Okay. I got it. Thank you, Gail. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Govardhan, how you go? Great. All right, thank you. That's nice. Good.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Hare Bo.
Please accept my humble obeisances.
Who's that?
This is Nanda Dula Maharaj. You know, we met in our Sangha's two people yesterday in the Ratha Jatra. Henry Prabhu and Mother Bhagavati.
Oh, okay. You went to Baltimore.
Yes. And also Mother Kolini, she appreciated, you know, your help over there in upstate New York.
Well, I appreciate her. Oh, yeah. Wow, great.
Maharaj, one question. Today's lecture I missed in the beginning. Will it be in the transcript tomorrow?
It's put online. I don't know how that works, but I think it's put online immediately.
Oh, immediately? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Very well. Great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Maharaj.
Henry?
Yes.
Okay, you went to the Rathiatri yesterday, I heard.
It was absolutely wonderful. Jayadvaita Swami was there and so many nice devotees.
Oh, okay. What was your, any highlight?
I got to sit in the questions and to answer booth with Jayadvaita Swami for about 2.5 hours. And
Well, that's a real treat, you know? That is a real treat. Okay. Great. Thanks a lot, Henry. Nice to hear from you. Great. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Krishna.
Who's this?
It's Carl and Stella. Please accept our humble obeisances.
Wow. Great. Huh? It's really nice to hear from you. Thank you. Great. Uh-huh. When will we see you again? Okay. Well, I may have to come out there one day. Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo. It's so nice, you know, because I get a sense of... Because I know not everybody has to say hello and Hare Krishna, but I do get a sense, after a couple of months of different people, I have a good sense of who's there. So thank you all very much. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Govardhan.
Hare Bo, Govardhan, Hare Krishna. Good. I'll have to come over to your place again sometime before I leave. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, we'll end now. Thank you all. Vanchakalpa Purubhya Shakrita Sindhu Bhavati.